there is a common aspect that unites the film, it says. But if it is an expression, a demonstration of chaos, then there is a common aspect. But it doesn't serve as an expression of chaos. So there is no common aspect. If there is no common aspect, so maybe it cannot. It is not an integral part, but we are mechuyev to be meisiv because of the other mitzvah as an independent mitzvah. So mimele, that's why he says, in Moshosok Eshlishi Erevi, Veseide, Laza Velishtes Veseide. The Yesh Bechshash, Shenira Kemeisiv La Keses, Aru Bishnei Keses Veshenis, Yaza Velishtes Veshenis. Now this really finishes the halacha. But I just, in connection with Ashkofe, I want to mention a certain Arav HaMoneach that the Kesef Mishneh mentions. So if you want, you can say that it's still halacha, but I mean, the pshat, but if you want, you can say that it's at the beginning of the Ashkofe. This is one point where the halacha and the Ashkofe overlap each other. Now, the Rambam says, Afiloni Shev Yisroel, Vloyecha Lachi Yesi, Isho Netzricha Seyit, not Isho Yitzel Bailo Netzricha Seyit, but Isho Netzricha Seyit, in other words, like the Shiltes, most Rishenim are like the Shiltes. V'mishoch Shuvoyi, Tzricha Seyit. Now, what is Ishoch Shuvoyi? What is Ishoch Shuvoyi? So, the Kesef Mishneh mentions Arav Moneach, who gives a list of three categories of Ishoch Shuvoyi. So he says as follows, Kosov Arav Moneach, Ishoch Shuvoyi, So one category of an ishoch shuvo is a woman who has no husband, let's say an almone, but she is a gveres habayis, in other words, she is the head of the house. So in this category, so there are two prerequisites. First of all, that she is not married, and secondly, that she is a gveres habayis. Suppose she is not married, but she is not the head of the house. So she doesn't have to be married. Then he mentions, the Rav Moneach mentions a second category of Ishoch Shuvo. Iname she Yichshuvo b'pri yoder. A woman who accomplishes and bas gdei le'ado eishes chayo yiras al-shem. That's the second category of Ishoch Shuvo. Then a third category of Ishoch Shuvo is Ishoch Shuvo she yish la'avodim u'shvoches she nutzricho li'isakein b'tikun ha'machol b'nyonei ha'batz. A third category. Now, if there are three categories, according to Rav Moneach, I mean, I'm not saying that all the Rishonim agree with the Rav Moneach, but we have to understand the Rav Moneach. He mentions three types of Ishoch Shuvo who are Mechuyev Veseid. So if there are three types of Ishoch Shuvo that are Mechuyev Veseid, so obviously there is a common denominator between these three types. Now, why are Moshim B'turim Veseid? So according to Rashbam, because only a married woman is Ptura Veseibe, and Bifnei Bailo, because Isha Kfufo Itzel Bailo. Why is Isha Kfufo Itzel Bailo? Why? Because of the pasuk in the Torah. I mean, no one says it, but it goes without saying that's the reason as to why an Isha is Kfufo Itzel Bailo. El Isha Omar, Halbo Arbo Yitzreinich, Ve'ereinich, Ve'etzef Teil Livonim, Verlishech Chukosir, Vihu Yim Shabok. Now, Vihu Yim Shabok is not a mitzvah saseh, that is the quote. So, there wouldn't be a aloche of Ishoch Shuvah. So it's only a clothing. But, like many other clothes given by the Rebbeinu Shalom, so this clothing too contains, it is a clothing, but this clothing contains a kernel or a seed of broche, out of which a ladder, a blessing for all of mankind can sprout from, even though it's a cloth, like many other clothes given by the Rebbeinu. So that means Vohim Shalbok. So that's the destiny of the woman. I mean, that certainly has been the destiny of the woman for many generations. Whether it's still the destiny of the woman today, well, that's a controversial question. But that was the destiny of women in the course of many, many generations. Vohim Shalbok. So in other words, the man, the husband, would play the dominant role. So mele, why is it, what's the purpose of a thing? I mean, I'm explaining the shita of the Rashbam. The Rashbam says, Isho kfufo itzel bailo. So the men of the Rishonim raise the question against the Rashbam. Men of the Rishonim, they say, because isha kufa itzel bailo. So she's not mechayevet besebe. But what does it mean? Because a woman is mechuyev to show respect to the husband. The Rambam says that a woman is mechuyev tzibur chachomim sheyiyeh meira bailo al ish. But there is certainly a chiyuv of meira incumbent upon his son toward the father. And still, the Gemara says bein itzel ovi. So he's cholcha say. Why? Because parents are not makpid. A child feels at home in the home of his father. So he's not inhibited in the presence of the father. So sitting in a reclining position is a true expression of chayos. It's not an act. But Talmid is a rabbi, except if the rabbi is treats them as like brothers, the way rabbi treated them. But usually, he told me it's a rabbi, he doesn't feel at home. So maybe he feels inhibited. So maybe a saving is not an expression of chayos. But Ben Itzelovi, if a status points out, even though he's both a Ben and a Talmi, the father is not only a father, the Rabbi Mubek, he still feels at home. So Mimele is not inhibited, so it is an expression of chaos. Even though there is a mitzvah of Meire, and the mitzvah of Meire incumbent upon his son toward the father is more serious than the mitzvah of Meire that is incumbent upon a wife toward the husband. So Rishenim raised the question, so why does the Rashbam say that Isha is a bailo, because Kuvah is a bailo? Why? Because she has reverence for the husband. And the son, if he's a good son, and he's behind the Mrs. Ator, he certainly has reverence and awe before the father. And still, we say that on account of the fact that his son feels at home, in the home of his father, so he doesn't feel inhibited. So maybe it's an expression of chayos, even though the son is not only his son, he's a Talmid, and Mir Rabba Kemir Shamayim. And doesn't a woman feel at home in the home of her husband? No. So why should she be Ptura v'Seir? So the pshat is, not because of the mitzvah of Meira that is incumbent upon a woman. That's why the Rashbam says that Esebe is not an expression of chayos, but because of Yehu Yim Shomoch. So that's a mitzias, that the husband, usually, certainly in those days, so he was he played the dominant role. So Mimele, it's not an expression of chayos for a woman. Not because it wasn't the derech of women, but because on account of the dominant role played by the husband vis-a-vis the wife, so mimele, it's not an expression of chayus. Hesebe is not an expression of chayus for the married woman in the presence of the husband. That's the shita version. But the shiltes is chayuk. And the shiltes holds true that a woman is mechuyev to have reverence for the husband, but a ben is certainly mechuyev to have meir for the father, and still it's an expression of chayus. So why shouldn't it be an expression of chayus for a married woman in the presence of the husband? But why is an isha p'tura v'seibe? Not because she's married, even mipnuyo, because it's not a derech of noshim. It's not a derech of noshim to be meisev in the course of the year. So the Rivin Aveine raises the question in the shultes. He says, do we say that just because it's not a derech of a woman to be meisev in the course of the whole year, so maybe it's not an expression of chayus, there is no mitzvah to say that. But the Mishnah says, afiloni shebi Yisrael, so Yisrael will be yoichel at sheyesev. And takes this Mishnah, the pshat, what does it mean? What's the chidesh? Afiloni shebi Yisrael yoichel at sheyesev, because I could have a salgadaito, that in view of the fact that the noni shebi Yisrael, a pauper, he never is meisev. When is he meisev? In the course of the year, the pauper. Never meisev. So the Mele, Pesach night, it's not an expression of chayos. So Kamashmon, true, he never does it, but it's still an expression of chayos, even though he himself doesn't do it in the course of the year. So the Rina Veiner is the question against the Shiltes. So Anisha too, true that it's not a derech of Noshim to be Meisev, but why should they be regarded differently than the Noni Shabi Yisrael? It's not a derech of Anim to be Meisev in the course of the year. Never does the Noni Meisev in the course of the year. And still is Mechuyev to say that. So why shouldn't women be Mechuyev to demonstrate Cheirus by reclining, just as Anim are Mechuyev to demonstrate Cheirus by reclining, even though it's not the derech in the course of their derech in the course of the year to recline? So there is a very simple teres. There is a fundamental difference between an oni, between an oni and because to an oni, it's not a derech for an oni in the course of the year to be meisiv. Why? Because a seiber doesn't befit an oni. It befits an oni just as it befits a rich man. But he just doesn't have the opportunity to be meisiv. That's all. He just doesn't have the opportunity to be meisiv. So anyway, we don't say, on account of the fact that the oni is unfortunately deprived of the opportunity to recline in a relaxed manner, so because of that, so reclining in a relaxed manner, Pesach night, does not constitute an expression of chet. Masha'inkin by Isha, so it was not the derech of Noshi to be meisiv. I mean, the shul tesesos, I mean, there is no shaila that the universal practice of women was not to be meisiv, but not because they were deprived, unfortunately, of the opportunity to be meisiv. Why couldn't they be meisiv, the women? Just as a man, they had plenty of time to be meisiv, because they didn't want to be meisiv. Apparently, women, while men were meisiv, while it was the universal practice of men to be meisiv, so it was the universal practice of women not to be meisiv. Why? They had a reason. I'm going to discuss that. Why? Why it was the universal practice of women not to be meisiv. That's not to be meisiv. But that was, so it's not because they were unable to be meisiv. In many ways, in respect to Ani, so Ani wanted to be meisiv, but they never couldn't. So in many ways, Pesach night, so Achdoni Shem Yisroel, so it was saying. Because since the Ani, the same Ani, so let's say, if any Ani, who wasn't meisiv while he was an Ani, suppose he became a millionaire overnight, so the next day he would be meisiv already. So in other words, the reason is why an oni, in the course of his anius, was not meisiv, because he had no opportunity. So mimele, so hasebe was in consonance with his disposition. Since hasebe was in consonance with his disposition, but he wasn't meisiv because he was poor and an opportunity, so it's like a Jew who has been in prison a whole year. So you'll tell him, and then he was released from prison before Pesach, so will anybody tell him, well, you don't have to be meisiv Pesach night, because in the course of the year you are never meisiv? No one will say that. Because he wasn't meisiv, not because Hasebe was not in consonance with his disposition, because he was subjected to adverse circumstances. That's why he wasn't meisiv. But it was in consonance with his disposition and his aspiration to be meisiv. So meile Hasebe is an expression of chayus for him. So it's not that they didn't have an opportunity. They had as much an opportunity as men, and even more of an opportunity. Because after all, men worked, I mean, all day. Yitzhodo Yifole. Yitzhodo Yifole Adi Al Orev. So Mimele, the women, had even more of an opportunity to be meisiv than men. But they weren't meisiv because they didn't want to be meisiv. Because I see there was not in consonance with their aspiration, with their disposition. So Mimele, since Hasebe, the reason is why women were not meisiv is because Hasebe was not in consonance with their disposition. So Mimele, Hasebe for women is not an expression of chayus. Now if you want, you can call it Ashkofet, but I think that is the true pshat al pi halacha. I mean, that's the teretz and the kashe by the Rina Avrino. Again, it's the shilas. Now, I would like to discuss now why it was the universal practice of women, of all, not to be meisiv. Now, why was it the universal practice of men to be meisiv? Why? There was no mitzvah, still it was universal practice. So, the reason as to why it was the universal practice of Jewish men to be meisiv is because Jews always consider themselves as bnei melachim. And that's halacha. Kol Yisroel bnei melachim. And since in those days that was the derech of melachim, it was the derech of melachim to be meisiv. So Jewish men, in order to act out royalty as it befit Jews, because kol Yisroel bnei melachim, so that's why they had the universal practice to be meisiv. Whenever they felt they were relaxed, it didn't mean that every time they ate, they reclined. But whenever they were relaxed, they were meisiv to act out the royalty that befits Jews as bnei melachim. Now, aren't women also princesses? We say, we apply the principle, the concept, to every woman, to every Jewish woman of Kol Kvido Bas Melech Pnimo. So just as we have, as Rabbi Akiva, it says, Kol Bnei Yisrael Melechim, so Kol Bnei Yisrael, our Bnei Melechim, our princesses. So how is it that there was a divergence of practice as between men and women? Men, Jewish men, in ancient times, Bisman Chazal, Bisman Tanoim, Bisman Amoroim. So it was the universal practice of Jewish men to act out the royal character of Jews, of Jewish men, by being meisef in accordance with the practice of royalty, of royal children. And women, who are also regarded as princesses, Kolkredo Bas Melach Nino, so to be in every woman is to be regarded as a princess, they did not act out this royal practice. Why? Apparently, the royal practice that befits men is one type of royal practice, and the royal practice that befits a woman is another type of a royal practice. We say, Kolkredo Bas Melach Nino, what does it mean? That means, Nino doesn't mean that a Jewish woman has to stay in the house, shouldn't go outside. It's nonsense to say. But means that a woman has to deport herself, a Jewish woman is expected to deport herself in accordance with the concept of internal royalty. There are two types of royalty. There are two types of practices that befit a royal person. One is external practice. There are certain externals befitting a royal child, and there are certain internals that befit a royal child. So a Jewish man has to act out the externals of royalty. A Jewish woman has to conform to the internals of royalty, but not to the externals. What is the distinction between the externals of royalty of Malchus and the internals of Malchus? Now the Rambam in Hilchos Melachim discusses in great detail the externals of royalty and the internals of royalty. The Rambam, so he says, Hamelech istaper b'chol yom. A melech is mechuyev to shave himself. I don't think that it means he has to take a haircut every day. That's impossible. It means he has to take a shave every day. Hamelech istaper b'chol yom umsakin atzmei. And he has to make himself nice, beautiful clothes. This is an external characteristic of royalty, not an internal. There's nothing to do with internals. That's not Malchus Pnimis. That's Malchus Chitzenis. But that's also important. In order that the Melech should command respect and should be able to impose reverence upon all the members of the nation, of the Jewish nation, so he has to conform to certain external royalties, externals of Malchus. So he has to be misaken atzmei, misnoye, bimalbushim noyim, umpriorim, shenar mela viyofi tachazani necho, viyenshin pal kisei malchusei bipalterin shalom. And he has, and in other words, he has to lead a luxurious life too. That's also an essential external of Malchus. Affluence, luxury, beauty. He has to put a crown on it. Well, that's certainly an external, that's an external symbol of Malchus. Kesef. I mean, this formal tribute that is to be paid by everyone to the king, that's an external characteristic of Malchus, not an internal characteristic of Malchus. So a Malach has to deport himself in accordance with certain externals that befit a Malach. That's the external world is of a Malach. But then, they are internal attributes of the Melech. So, what are the internal attributes of a melech? So the Rambam mentions in several halachos, in Perigvei's halacha vav, he says, Ki derech sheholak li hakosul, hakovid hagodeil, v'chayev hakil b'chvedei, kach tzivou li'es libei b'kirbei. Even though the Torah requires every Jew to pay tribute and to show honor, and that the Melech should be encircled with pomp and pageantry and beauty, but still, tzivou li'es libei b'kirbei, shofeil b'cholol shem avuni b'cholol b'kirbei. What's that? That's chesed. Dignity for each and every man. The cotton shebiktanim. He has to have a high regard for the dignity of the cotton shebiktanim. וכשמדבר כל הכל, בלושן רבים ידבר רכז, שנאמר, שימוני אחי ועמי. ואם ירמיין תהיה עבד לעם הזה, ואם הוא מסנאי בנו ונשאירו, אם הוא מגודו ונשא רבינו, ויהיו אם אבינחנו מו, ולרבינו תרונסיכם, ויזבו תוכו ומעשו ומתרונסו וקבצו, כאשר יצאו אימן לסיינק, כאשר יצאו אימן לסיינק, is the essential feature of the פנימיוס of the מלך, of the internals that befit the מלך, that befit פאוס. Now, in the trouble it's chesed, anives, are essential features of Malchus Pnimius. There's Malchus Chitzenius, they are the externals of Malchus and the internals of Malchus. So what are the externals of Malchus? Beauty, pomp, pageantry, these things, affluence, luxury, these things. These are the externals of Malchus. But then there are internals of Malchus. The internals of Malchus. So the Rambam in Perek Beis, Halacha Vav, so he mentions the internals of Malchus. So one of the fundamental elements in the internals of Malchus is Chesed and Anivis. And then there is another very important element in the Pnimius of Malchus, in the internals of Malchus. And that is mentioned by the Rambam in the Gemara in Chesivochim, Halochi Yud, when the Rambam says, Uvichol Yiu Maso V'Shem Shemayim, whatever Imelah does, Imelah has many prerogatives, but whatever he does has to be done with Shem Shemayim, not with ulterior motives. And what does it mean with Shem Shemayim? V'tiyem itamosei u'machshaktei nihomid asayemes u'mali sorilem tzedek yulish be'ezrei ha'orishonim u'mirochim u'chomis ha'dishem. So the internal, the essential, an essential element in Malchus Pnimius, in the internals, in the internals of royalty, is the aspiration to be meyering, to elevate the true faith, to be mashpia, emune b'akodesh Baruch Hu in the Torah upon all men and all women, and l'malei so'ilam tzedek, and to establish righteousness, peace, and harmony all over the world, v'mishbezei ha'orshoyim, and to counteract rishes. In other words, tzipisa l'yishua, one of the things for which every Jew is to account is tzipisa l'yishua, the aspiration towards a better world, towards a day when it will be yeyim shekulei shabos u'mnucho l'chayim, when it will be le'yisa b'yom b'yicharev v'yom b'yom b'chomo. This aspiration towards the day when there will be peace and brotherhood and love, this is an important element in the internals of Malchus. So there are externals of Malchus and there are internals. Of course, a king who only conforms to the externals of Malchus and doesn't try to conform to the internals of Malchus, he is not a melech. He might be a melech in name. How about all these Arab kings? They are mochi. They're not mochi. So, in order to be a melech, even to have a semblance of him, so we must follow up a madikul of internals of Malchus. Without the internals of Malchus, he is not a melech, he is a tyrant. He is a vain person, an empty person, a beirik. So this is a necessary prerequisite. Internal somehow, internal loyalty. But for men, it's important. Externals of Malchus are also important. Now, Hesebe, there is actually, you could raise a question. Now, Moshim, the Shilte says, the Shilte says that Moshim are not Mechayomis Beseitim and Knuiz. Why it's in that on Shaloshim is? But the fact that it's not a derech of Moshim to be Mesa, that in itself is not enough, because it's certainly not a derech of Anim to be Mesa. And still, Avi Olishab Yisrael, he is required to be Mesa. So then saying, and Olishab Yisrael, he's not massive in the course of the year because he doesn't have an opportunity. But it's but a seve is in consonance with his disposition. Masha'in can a seve for women abode. So it wasn't in consonance with their disposition. Why wasn't it in consonance with their disposition? Because a seve is a demonstration of malchus. But what kind of an expression of malchus is it? It's an expression of the externals of malchus. A seve is not only symbolic of freedom. Hesebe is symbolic of sovereignty, of authority. It's derech noachim lasein. So, for men, in order to act out their role as called ne Yisrael bnei noachim, they have to conform even to a certain modicum of externals of malchus. That's why it was the universal practice of men, of the Jewish men, in the ancient times, in the times of Tamun, in the times of Moroim, to be massive, to demonstrate chayrus, sovereignty, aggressive chayrus. Hesebe is symbolic of aggressive chayrus. But for women, true, every Jewish woman is to be regarded as a princess. But the task of a woman is to conform exclusively to the pnimius of Malchus, to the internal loyalty, the internals of Malchus, not the externals, because the Rebbeinu Shalom created the psyche of men differently and the psyche of women differently. It's two different dispositions. It's not a question which disposition is more important. Both dispositions are indispensable for the progress of the world. And Chazal say, in connection with the Pasuk, now, there seems to be an apparent contradiction in the Pasuk. The same Pasuk refers to Adam and Chava as one and as two. So the Pasuk refers to Adam and Chava, to man and woman, as one person. And then the Pasuk concludes, as two. Okay, it's up. So there is an apparent direct. So the Gemara in Ksuvos Daf Ches says, "Machshava only boreis shnayim," but in the Bria b'Mitzius it was one. Now, how can we say that in the Bria in the Mitzius it was one? We know that in the Bria in the Mitzius it's two. Men and women are two separate persons. The answer is the Rebbeinu Shalom created men and women because man represents one type of a behavior pattern, and the woman represents another type of a disposition and of a behavior pattern. And both are indispensable towards the upbuilding of the world. And there has to be, in order that this world should ultimately be transformed into a paradise into a Gan Eden, so there has to be complete integration between the disposition and the pattern represented by men and the disposition and the pattern represented by women. There has to be full integration and emergence between men and women. So in practice, both have to be merged, both have to be united, both have to be integrated. But the machshove is that the Bria should have both. Both types, both patterns. The Bria needs both types. The type and the pattern represented by the man, and the type and the pattern represented by the woman. So a man has to act out his men qualities, and the woman has to act out her womanly qualities. So for a man, it is necessary not only to conform to the internals of Malchus, but also to conform to a certain modicum of externals of Malchus. But in regard to women, so cold finger was melachim. Everything is internal. A woman has to be dedicated exclusively to the internals of Malchus. but no aggressive malchus, no aggressive malchus for women. It doesn't fit a woman to demonstrate aggressive royalty. It befits a woman to demonstrate internal royalty, but not aggressive royalty. Now, we see the two mitzvahs, the essential feature of two mitzvahs on Pesach night is demonstration of chaos. Sias Abba cases and the same. So why is it that Noshim Abba is in Abba cases? Afin Hulu Beisanes. And Noshim Abba is in the same. Except the Nisha Hashu. But a woman is not a Nisha Hashu. So she took Abba Seide. But Afin Hulu Beisanes. So they should be Mechuyev in all the demonstrations of Malchus. In which man is Mechuyev? The answer is, there is a fundamental distinction between the essence of the demonstration of Chaos and Malchus represented by Abba Keses and the demonstration of Malchus and Chaos represented by Hesedeh. Hesedeh is a demonstration of externals of Malchus, of pomp, of authority. This final position so is symbolic of the externals of Malchus. Sias Yayin estates explains it because Yayin is Samach Levavenish. So Yayin instills peace of mind, joy in the heart of man. This is an expression of the inheritance of Malchus. So in regard to the mitzvah of Abba Keses, the Chachomim or Misake, an account of the fact that Afein Hoya Ben Sanes, Moshe Malchus Yoreis, because don't pay him as Melach Nimo. So it certainly is this demonstration of the internals of Malchus that is represented by Sias Abba Keses, the peace of mind that is introduced as a result of the Sias Abba Keses, Yayin Yisamach Levavenech. So, and then the Sias Yayin has another effect. It removes all the inhibitions that originate in fear. And the Ben Chayr in Pesach night, when a person is to recapitulate in Sias Mitzrayim experience, and to feel as if he this night had regained his freedom, so then he has to be devoid of all those inhibitions that originate not in sneers, but in fear. In fear of a master, of a tyrant. So Yain has the effect on one hand of instilling joy and peace of mind, Yain Yisamach Levavenish, and on the other hand, Yain has the effect of removing the all the inhibitions that originate in fear of a cruel master. So that represents this kind of demonstration is a demonstration of internal malchus. Internal malchus befits women more than men. But the seibe is an expression of external malchus, of authority, of aggressive royalty. So that doesn't befit for you. Called Freedom as Melach Nimo. It befits men. Men was created differently than women. But not women. That's why the Shita says, in dark on Shamosh and Mizke, not that they had no opportunity, they had no opportunity. But our mothers of old understood that this demonstration of Malchus, of external Malchus, befits a man, but does not defeat a woman. Now, so we have to understand now why does the Gemara say Ishoch Shubo Tzricha Seideh? If a Seideh is essential, a demonstration of the externals of Malchus, and Konkveto Bas Melach Pimo implies that externals of Malchus do not befit a woman, only men. So how could a woman be a Ishoch Shubo? If she's an Ishach Shubo, so that means that she's the type of a woman who indulges in the external of Malchus. If she's the type of woman who is, as the Gemara calls it, Yusheves Bikatedre, a woman who has her own desk and has her own letterheads from the desk of this and this woman, that's a woman who indulges in the externals of Malchus. But this practice of indulging in externals of Malchus, that is not in harmony with the concept of Kol Kvevo Bas Melach Pnimo. A woman has to be dedicated. exclusively to the internals of Malchus. Not externals. Externals, that's for men, not for women. So that's the reason as to why Harav Moneach spelled out different categories of Ishach Shuvo. So one category of Ishach Shuvo is Ishach Shuvo Kleima Sheilo Baal V'Giveres Abayis. Now, with whom does he agree? Does he agree with the Shita of the Rashbam? Does he agree with the Shita of the Shita of the Shiltes? So in other words, in the first category, Ishach Shuvo is a woman who does not have a husband, but who is at the same time a Giveres Abayis. Suppose she's a Giveres Abayis and she has a husband, she's not an Ishach Shuvo. And suppose she's a Giveres Abayis, if she's a Giveres Abayis and she has a husband, she's not a Shuvo either. Only if she has no husband, but she's a woman, unfortunately, and in addition, she's a Giveres Abayis, she's the head of the house, so then she's an Ishach Shuvo. But if she's not a woman, if she has a husband, but the husband is not the head of the house, the woman is the head of the house. You find that very often. I mean, that many women, so they play a very minor role. I mean, many men, they play a very minor role in their homes. So it's liyis kolishos ireres b'veisa. And the man, at most, has a subordinate role, if at all, any role. So such a woman is not an Ishach Shuvo. Why not? Now, the Pasuk says, Shma bni musar obichot, v'altit eshter asumach. The Zayah, in commenting upon that Pasuk, says, Shma bni musar obichot zeteo shebetcha, v'altit eshter asumach, zeteo shebalta. Now what does it mean? The Zayah does not have to make a distinction between teo shebetcha and teo shebalta. The Zayah was not written by a conservative rabbi. So teo shebetcha and teo shebalta, the Tanya ha. What is Teo Shebal Peh? Teo Shebal Peh is the Pshat in Teo Shebechsav. So how can Isaiah say, Shema Bni Musar Avicho de Teo Shebechsav, Ba'otu Bishnira Semecho, Ze Teo Shebal Peh. But Teo Shebal Peh is also included in Teo Shebechsav. Certainly today, after the Chassidus Talmud, so everything is in writing. But there are two Torahs. There is one Torah, the Teo Shebechsav. Teo Shebechsav comprises the Chodal Kisvei HaKedosh, and Shas Bavri, Shas Shalom, and Shemim, Shmonoch, and the Morgan Avrom, and the Taz, and the Shach, and the Dragro, and Rabbi Reber, and all the Gdelim, and all the Poskim. That's Teo Shebechsav, it's all Teo Shebechsav. So that has to be taught by the father. Yishinam Tom Levanecho. So a father is mechuyev to teach Torah to his son, a mother is not mechuyev to teach Torah to his son. So that's Teo Shebechsav. But then, but the Pasuk does say, Va'altit eshter asemecho. So because it's not enough to inculcate psukim of the Torah, psukim of the Nevi'im, psukim of Ksuvim, Gemores and Rashes and Tesres and Tzeis and Nisibes and Andreas, and Rebbe Shel Mordechai, it's not enough! There has to be a Teiro Shebal Peh. Over and above the Teiro Shebechsav and the Teiro Shebal Peh, which is also Teiro Shebechsav. And that Teiro Shebal Peh, that cannot be reduced into one thing, can be imparted only by mother into the heart of the child. Certainly this, the concept of chesed, the aspiration towards peace, it cannot be inculcated by merely telling him there is a mitzvah of bakei shalom v'rafeinu. It has to be inculcated into the heart of the children by the mother. And only a woman can do that. That's part and parcel of the burden of a mother to inculcate the Torah Shebal Peh. That whole Torah, through guidance and through compassion and through consideration. So to inculcate and instill all kinds of midas davis and a disposition towards peace and towards brotherhood. That's the Torah Shebal Peh. Shema Bnei Musar Avicho, V'altit Eish Tiras Amecho. And a father, Shleisha Shutvim B'Odom. So of course, the predominant Shutvim is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because he owns the chilik that the father has and the chilik that the mother has. But besides this chilik, the chilik of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the father has a chilik and the mother has a chilik. And the tachlis of the Bria was that the father should devote himself to the father role and the mother should devote herself to the mother role. Shma Bnei Musar Avicho. The father's role is to discipline the children, to teach them Torah. The Torah Shebichsav, Torah Shebichsav, comprising the Tanakh and the Shas Barlam, the Yerushalmi, the Rishayim, the Shulchan Aruch. But then there is the mother's role in to instill the Torah Shebichsav, to inspire the children through her guidance, through her compassion, through her love. And no family can be raised if the roles will be reversed, if the mother will become a father. So in other words, the externals of Malchus are necessary concomitants of the father role. In order that a Jewish father should be able to carry out the father role, Shema Bni Musar Avichov, of disciplining children, then he must exercise, he must conform to certain externals of Malchus. Dignity, beauty, it doesn't mean that the father has to wear lakia shoes. That's not mentioned in the Rambam in connection with Malach either. He has to wear nice clothes. He has to be dressed in a dignified way. These are the externals of Malchus. But the father role can be carried out only if he conforms to a modicum of externals of Malchus. And because of that, so it was a universal practice in ancient times, as long as it was the Derech Melochim to engage in the same day, it was also the Derech of all Jews. Because all Jews are Melochim, called Yisroel Melochim. So it was the universal practice in the Zman of the Tanoim, in the Zman of the Arohim, to conform to the externals of Malchus, of the same day, and other externals of Malchus. And this was a proper expression of Chayus and Malchus, because it was the kind of an expression that befitted the man. But it wasn't the proper expression of Malchus for a woman, because a woman is to dedicate herself completely to the internals of Malchus. And the Sebe is a demonstration of the externals of Malchus, not the internals of Malchus. So in the melee, it's not the Kira Mitzvah of Chayos. A man has to demonstrate two kinds of Malchus face of life. Internal Malchus, and internal Malchus is symbolized and expressed and demonstrated by the Sias Abba Kaysis, and he also has to demonstrate external Malchus, aggressive Malchus, that it, which is symbolized, this man Chazal was certainly symbolized by a saber, in accordance with the practice of kings who had to deport themselves in accordance with pomp and dignity, stat. You know what stat means? I don't mean that Pesach night everyone in Seder must wear a hat. You can sit in reality too. But so that does not come within the category of the externals of Malchus. But a Jewish man, Pesach night, has to make a demonstration of the externals of Malchus. But a Jewish woman, she is Mechuyeves in Arba Kaysis, because Arba Kaysis is a demonstration of the internals of Malchus, but not the same. Why? Because the externals of Malchus emanate from the father role, not from the mother role. But suppose, so the Rav Moneach says, suppose unfortunately a woman becomes an almone at a young age. Now, Shmat Nibusar Avicho, Valtite Shteres Emecho, the father has to discipline the children. But if Rachmon Mitzvah, the mother remains an almone at a young age, the way my mother was a chenu broche, she became an almone when her husband died before he was even 50 years old, and most of the children are still young. So who will fulfill the father role? Isha Sheinabal. Unfortunately, she's an almone. He develops a body, she's the head of the house. Such a woman has to conform not only to the internals of Malchus. She must conform to all the externals of Malchus, as if she had been a man. Because there is no one else who will fulfill the role of a father. my mother had to take the place of my father. She had to fulfill both mandates. The mandates of Altite Shtera Semecho, of instilling compassion and chesed and love and brotherhood into the hearts of her children. And also she had to take over the place of my father's Renevoche. No, not when my father-in-law passed away. And my mother-in-law was a very young woman, and she remained with young children, only one grown-up son, so then, and one grown-up daughter, and the other children were very young. So then my mother-in-law, Zechrin Lebroche, had to step into the shoes of my father-in-law, and she had to fulfill the role of the mother and the father. Ovi Ovi, Rechav Yisrael for Osho. Elisha said, when he said goodbye to Leo, so Chazal said, in commenting upon this expression, the first Ovi means Ovi, and the second Ovi means Imi. Sometimes a father has to take over the role of the mother, and sometimes a mother has to take over the role of the father. Ovi Ovi, in the same person. And my mother-in-law was that kind of a woman. She had to become a father for her children, fulfill the role of the father, and she had to be, of course, she had to be a mother of the children, and she had to be ready also, a rabbi for the children, to guide them, to teach them Torah, to see that they learn, that the sons and the daughters learn Torah, that they go to Derech Hashem. So Rav Meir says, you raise the question, now how is it possible to conceive an Ishach Shuvo? According to the Shulchan Pshat, so all Noshim are to us of the same. Why? It's not the Derech of Noshim to be Meiseh. What does it mean? It's not the Derech of Noshim to be Meiseh. It's not the Derech of Amin to be Meiseh. But still, when an only is Meiseh Pesach night, it's a demonstration of Chayus. So why shouldn't it be a demonstration of Chayus when a woman is Meiseh? Even though in the course of a year, she is not Meiseh. The answer is, an only is not Meiseh in the course of a year because he has no opportunity. He's a prisoner. Unfortunately, he's too poor to feel relaxed, to be Meiseh, to eat in a refined position. But if he had the opportunity, he certainly would be disposed to be Meisev. But so Meilei, Pesach night, when he has an opportunity to be Meisev, and he is mechuyev to feel that he just regained his freedom, so he's mechuyev to be Meisev. But a woman, in the course of a year, she is not Meisev, even though she has an opportunity, because it's not in consonance with the disposition of a woman to follow up the externals of Malchus. And the Seder is an expression, a demonstration of externals of Malchus. Externals of Malchus do not befit a woman, but there are certain women for whom externals of Malchus befit very much, and who are obligated by the urgency of the situation to step in the shoes, to the shoes of the father also. So who is that kind of a woman? So Rav Meir says, Ishach Shuvo, Kleima Shein Loba, because as long as she has a husband, it would not be in consonance with the concept of complete basmalach nimo to step into the shoes of the husband. Let the husband fulfill the role of the father, and let the mother dedicate herself to the role of the mother. But if Chas v'Shalom, Rachmana Litzlan, she remains an almona with young children, who is to take care of the children? Who is to raise the children? Who is to raise up in the children? Who is to chastise the children? Who is to fulfill the role of the father with all the externals of Malchus? The mother, then she's an Ishach Shuvo. Then a demonstration of externals of Malchus is proper and appropriate for a woman. And such a woman is Mechuyevus in the Mishra. And then he says, there is another category of Ishach Shuvo. Now the third category is a well-known category. The third category is Ishach Shuvo Shiesh La'avodim Mishmochens. That's a woman who sits in cathedrals, Chazal Kola, a woman who has a desk of her own, who has her own reference from the desk of this lady, and that lady. So she's also an Ishach Shuvo. But I'm not going to discuss the third type. The third type of Ishach Shuvo is a very well-known type. It doesn't require an explanation. But I want to elaborate upon the second category of Ishach Shuvo. And the second category, she Shuvo B'Priyodeo, but they will have all. In order to explain this category, I want to mention the Gemara in Bava Basra. And by understanding the second category in Arav Mamelach, we'll be able to understand why Rishayim, and most Rishayim say that Kol Anoshim Shalom Chashuvim say. Why is it so? Well, isn't that an insult to all the women? This man has all, in other words, that the women of today, the same say, are much superior to the women of the Tanoim Amroi. Why should we say that? I mean, are the women of today superior to a woman like Rochel, the daughter of Kol B'Shavua, the wife of Rabbi Akiva? Why is it so? Now, the more in the robust way that Chofalev says, that Chofalev on the Dalek, Yom HaRav Yudha Mara, Bravo Zohor Eise Yish Lekeim, וישועה בן דם ולשמוי שירומו להיהו נשתקח תירו מישראל שבתחילו מי שיש ליאו ולאם מתירו מי שאין ליאו ולאם מתירו מי דורש ולאם מתן לא יסוף ומה לזה נחת הסכימו שהם ישיבו ולאם נגד לא שואלים מי דורש כמציאות תצטירו so originally so some were the father said the father taught him to day and night he taught him to but if someone unfortunately he was not did not have a father So there was no one to teach him Torah. Vada. So they were misaking, she wanted to make his little shrine. So that even one who does not have a father would have an opportunity to learn the whole Torah. My dosh can be seen to teach it here. Vada you mishin ish liyo bo yamal im ramde. Mishin liyo bo yamal im ramde. Woman. His kinu she mishibim hof vach 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 hof עד שבו ישוע בן גמלה ותיקן שהם ישיבים לו המדיני קייס בכל מדינו ומדינו ובכל ידינו ומאכניס את זה כבן שש כבן שבע So that was the corner of ישוע בן גמלה that there should be hadorim in schools, yeshivas in every city, in every village and that even those children were fathers who are big talmid hachomim So the fathers cannot say why does my boy have to go to Chela? I'm a big talmid chochel I'll teach him to all myself And he's willing to teach him to us. No, he was mechuyev to send that to the Sakone of Yeshua ben Gamle that even if the father is willing to teach to himself, to the son, so he has to send him to Chayla. Zohar is Yishvati. Now, I would like to understand. So it appears on the surface that the Jewish people have gone through a very substantial spiritual and moral deterioration. In other words, so originally, Someone had a father, so he learned Torah. Someone did not have a father, did not learn Torah. Then we should have come to the Sakim, the Shukhadon, schools, the Shibes, everyone has to learn Torah. That means that the Jewish people has become elevated spiritually in the course of generations. That the Jews at the time of Yeshua ben Gamle were much superior to the Jews, let's say hundreds of years before, in the time of the Nevi'im. In the time of the early Tanoim, before the Yeshua ben Gamle, it's inconceivable that the Jews in the later generations were spiritually superior to the Jews and to the leaders, the Jewish leaders of the early generations. Our Chazal tells us, So that means that vis-a-vis our forebears, there has been a retrogress, not a progress. But it appears from this Gemara that there has been a substantial progress among the later generations, among the Jews in the later generations, vis-a-vis the Jews in the early generations, vis-a-vis the leaders. That means that the leaders in the early generation did not find it necessary to have hadorim. And to enact such a takone that every Jewish parent must send the child of Chayla, only Yeshua ben Gamle. Realize that. And all the Tanoim prior to Yeshua ben Gamle did not realize that it's important for that all Jewish children should go to Chayla, should go to Yeshua. Well, the answer is, it's not that this takone, the takone by Yeshua ben Gamle marked an elevating stage in the history of Jewish education on the contrary. This takone, he had to enact this takone. Zohar is a shakim. Because of the unfortunate circumstances, he had to enact this takone. But it marked, it reflected, I didn't say marked, it reflected from the deterioration in the educational level of Jewish children. Because in the early generations, so every father fulfilled the father role. He was Mikhail, the mitzvah of Shmat Mimusarabi. I'm going to be part of this. Shoyim HaMelech tells the child to follow up the Musar. But every Jewish father in the early generation fulfilled his role in imparting the Musar of the Av, in disciplining children, and in teaching Torah. So, the father takes his head, even about the generation, his stomach, the average father is also ready. So as long as the father was dedicated to the test of the father role, there was no necessity in establishing Chador in every village. Why? Alright, I know it's volume, so he was also taken care of. So somebody else taught him. So the father couldn't teach him, so an uncle taught him, so an older brother taught him. A cousin taught him. Or family friend taught him. No one was neglected in the early generations. As long as every Jewish father was motivated by this test of disciplining, of imparting Musar Rav to children, of Shmad Bnei Musar Avicho. So there was no necessity for Chador in every time in every age. And of course, when a father teaches his own son Torah, then he can accomplish much more than when a stranger. Even if the father is not such a good rabbi, and the stranger is a good rabbi, but when a father teaches Torah, he can accomplish much more than another rabbi. So, those days, the educational level of Jewish children was much higher than the educational level in the later generations. And in the early generations, there was no need for this kind of takonel, shimim shivim, for the sefer, the whole year, and the whole kvar ukvar. Because every Jewish child was tator. If he had a father, so he was tator by the father. So who can be as involved and as dedicated in imparting Torah to a father, to a child, as the father himself? Who? So, now Rambam says that a Rebbe is to consider the Talmidim as children. Why? Because as long as a Rebbe does not have a paternal attitude toward Talmidim, so then he cannot impart Torah to the Talmidim. Only if he feels like a father, then he's in a position to impart Torah to Talmidim. But as long as every Jewish father was dedicated to the task of teaching Torah to his child, there was no need for establishing Chadorim in every town, in every village. But then, as Jews deteriorated, and the educational level, and as there was a retrogress, as the retrogress has taken place in the educational level of Jewish children, then the Chachamim felt the need that we must set up everything. We must set up yeshivas because we cannot rely on the fathers. Unfortunately, the fathers neglect the duties of fulfilling the father role. So that's why he was forced. It reflected in a very important takonah, but it reflected an unfortunate situation in the educational setup of Jewry. He was forced because of that to turn over Jewish children for partial adoption by Rebbe. That's what it meant, setting up Chadorim and enacting the compulsory law of education. That even if father, the biggest Talmid Chochem, Yeshua ben Gamliel was nisakein, has to send the child to the cheder, to the school. Because otherwise, without enacting this compulsive law of education, many, many Jewish children would remain, Yeshua ben Gamliel felt, without the Torah education. They wouldn't be disciplined, they wouldn't be tator, they wouldn't know how to distinguish between right and wrong, they wouldn't know what is muta, what is osa, what is one higher, one is water. So we had to enact that akone. It was a very important akone. But it reflected an intervention in the educational level of Jewish children. Now, so Rav Moneach says, and that is also the pshat, in all the Rishonim who say the more practice is Rav Yeruchem, Rav Yeruchem, Rav Yeruchem, that that Noshim Shalom will call on Churis. Now the question is, so that means that our mothers of old were not so superior. I mean, women of today are much more superior to them. Is that in line with the concept expressed in the Maimon Chazal, Ivo Mishayi Kibni Odom, Onu Kechamidim Mishayi Kimalach Hazores, Onu Kibni Odom, that certainly applies to women also, not only to men. Ivo Mishayi, if our mothers of old were like Malachim, so Onu Kibni Odom, and if our mothers of old were like Melodom, so Onu Kechamidim. So how can the Mishayi say, Noshim Shalonu Kulon Shuveis? The women in the time of Abakive were not Shuveis, Kulon. They were all certain Shuveis. But Shalonu, everybody's a Shuveis. The answer is, why do we say that the woman who is not Shuveis is too on the thing? Because the same is a demonstration of external Malchus. And the external Malchus befits a man. That's in consonance with the Father, with the Shmabnus of Yehovah. But Hesebe is not in consonance, external Malchus is not in consonance with the mother role. The mother role consists exclusively in the porting oneself in accordance with all the periods of Malchus, of Tznius and of Chesed and of Sholem and of Love. So why do we say that the Nishach Shuvo is if I say that? So one category of a Nishach Shuvo is a woman who unfortunately lost her husband and she was forced to step in the shoes of the father and not to content herself with merely fulfilling the role of Al Titish Teres Emech. But there was another category. As a result of the deterioration that took place in the level of Jewish education, so many fathers began to neglect their father role. They became absorbed in making a living, in working outside of the home. And to whom was the child left? To the mother. So what should the mother do? What should the mother do? If the father is away the whole day, if he gets up early in the morning before dawn and he comes at night, and let's say especially today, so many fathers even when they come home at night, so he eats supper and then he turns on the television and something, and on whom does he leave the children? On whom? On the public school. So what should the mother do? She should content herself with the mother role? So naturally she has to fill out the vacuum. So the reason as to why Noshim Shalom Uchshuvah is not because the women of today are superior to the women of old, but because the men of today are so inferior vis-à-vis the men of old. The men of old, they all dedicated themselves to the task of disciplining the children, of teaching Torah to the children. So maybe the mother did not have to occupy herself with the father role. The father fulfilled that role. But in the course of generations, so many became, and especially with the result of the Industrial Revolution, when every man had to start working outside of the house, out of the home, and he had to be away from the home, and many times he had to be away from the home, even on Shabbosim, and for months and months he was away from home. So who should take over the father role? Who? The street? Naturally the mother has to take over the father role. So this is the second category of an Ishoch Shuvo that the Rabbi Melech mentions. Ishoch Shuvo Vitayadeo, a woman who is very superior in her outlook on life, in her spiritual and moral aspirations, and who understands that she has to produce, she has to do work, and if the father is not available, because the father is busy making a living, the father has to go overseas in order to make panose, then who is to step into the shoes of the father? The mother. So that's another category of Elisha Shubo. Not an almoneh chas v'shalom, but a married woman who has the greatest reverence and awe for the husband, but because of the circumstances, she has to step into the shoes of the father. And that is also an Ishach Shuvah. So the reason is why so many of the Shaykh is saying that Kol HaNoshim Shalom Uchshuvah saying is not because women of the day are superior to the women of the world. It's not so. Certainly Chazal didn't think so. Certainly the Shaykh didn't think so. Maybe it's a baby. Think so, but alive. The woman's lip thinks so. But the Rishonim, the Ravyo, the Ravan, the Ravon, the Ravon, the Ravon, the Ravon, the think so. But they also say that Moshe Shalom could not show it. But Bismarck and Roy, only a few women will show it. Because Bismarck and Roy, so the men were on such a high level, and they all fulfilled the task of a father. And of course, in those, that was long before the Industrial Revolution, and it was possible for a father to fulfill the father role of Mabu Musarabicho, of Mishnanku Banecho, of teaching the whole Torah to a child. But then, as a result of the Industrial Revolution, and the Industrial Revolution started in the times of Rishayim, the Industrial Revolution. That's why Rishayim mentioned that. So then, many fathers were not in a position to fulfill the role of the father. So the mother had to step in and to fill the vacuum. So the Noshim Shalom Kulom Chshuva is not because of a substantial progress in the women of the day vis-à-vis the women of old, but because of a substantial spiritual and moral deterioration in the men of the day vis-à-vis the men of old. Now, tonight, in the second daughter of my mother, her name was Ruth Shur. Now, Chazal say, in respect to the passage, Rabbeis Bonois Asukhoyim, the Atolis Al-Kolono, Rabbeis Bonois Asukhoyim, the Atolis Al-Kolono, he made it Ruth's name, Shekir Vaatz Morishtino, Unikach Yotzum Milochim Mimeno, Sheribu Lakadish Borofi, Vishir Ezit Mishwar. In other words, Ruth was the mother of Malchus. And why was Ruth Zeche? Ruth, who was not even born a Jewess. So she was Zeche because she was Mikaredes herself to come to Yashvino. She was Zeche to be the mother of Malchus. Why? Because Ruth conformed to all the internals of Malchus. As one can see by taking a mere cursory glance of the story of Ruth, she did not indulge in any way in the externals of Malchus. She did not demonstrate any externals of Malchus. Ruth did not try to show pomp, pageantry, ceremony, just, but Ruth dedicated herself exclusively to the internals of Malchus. Now, what are the internals of Malchus? The internals of Malchus, I think, are mentioned in the Human Mori Chazal. Now, I cited the Roshna Rambam, what are the terms of Malchus? Chesed is one internal of Malchus. The aspiration towards the Milam Shekuli Kei, towards Yeb Shekuli Shabbos, Yeb Hol Chai Yomi, that's one of the internals of Malchus. There are a few elements in the internals of Malchus, but there are Human Mori Chazal that embody the essential points in the internals. In the internals of Malchus. Now, one basic Maimah Chazal that is expressive of the internals of Malchus is the Maimah Chazal in the Morning Brachos. Daf Yudzai. Tony Rabono. Beinu ha-haftoch. She-niftiach ha-kodesh Baruch Hu li-noshim. Yeiseh ha-noshim. The promise made by ha-kodesh Baruch Hu to women is of greater significance than the promise made by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the Jewish man. Shene'emar, Noshim Shananos, ye come women, Keino, wives, Shmano Keino, hear my voice, the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bono is great voice, ye confident women, ye women who have betochen your faith and confidence in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Noshim great voice, Hazeino, set your ears to my sayings, Dr. Mishbolka sayings. In other words, in this Maimah Chazal, the Gemara expresses two essential elements in the internal world. And that is one essential element in internal royalty. The internal royalty that befits every Jewish daughter is to talk about the Gemara. Faith in God. Confidence. Now, the concept of Bitochen HaKadosh Baruch Hu, unfortunately, is many times misunderstood. Bitochen does not mean that the man or the woman is to have comes with an involvement that everything will go well. And man doesn't have to do anything. He can sit alone and not be wrong. But somehow, we need to learn that he should prosper, that he should have lots of children, and that everything should be fine. That's not God. The Torah says, Imam Yvorecho, Anishem Yvorecho, if God has a pass, whereupon our sages may be coming, be sure shatulation, the way be sure shatulation. Bitochen means that men must do the utmost and must not minimize in efforts, in toil, in labor, in sacrifices. He must do everything that he can and then have become. But if man sits idle and says, Hashem Yerachim, that's not it all. Im ani vorecha pa Hashem Yerachim, b'chil ha-shatas, b'shor shat-e-isa, k'voy b'shor shat-e-isa. So one essential element in eternal loyalty is both faith, bitochi, faithful, confident, active, constructive confidence. Not idle faith in God, but constructive, active, dynamic confidence in God. When a person does everything that he can, and then he leaves the rest for the day. Now, just a little bit of my mother-in-law had that meeting. She always had confidence in the Almighty God that everything will be fine. But she did not try to minimize in any way. When my father-in-law had to leave Europe and go to America because of Daiges Panose, so she did all the work and she stepped into the shoes of her husband and she became a father and a mother to her children. And nothing was hard for her because of that meeting. But there is another essential element in internal world, and that is shananus, comes. That means aristocratic demeanor. This is typical of internal world when a person doesn't become excited, never screams, and says everything quietly. When the person reprimands without screaming. And my mother-in-law possessed that attribute. She reprimanded me many times, but never with screaming, never with excitement, and always they came with momodaka and with love, shananus, aristocratic demeanor, equanimity of disposition. That's the second essential element in the eternal world. And then, so Chazal say, because men are not capable of galvanizing the potential of internal loyalty as much as women are. Because internal loyalty is more in consonance with the spiritual and moral and psychological makeup of a woman than of a man. So that's why Chazal say, then there is a third very important element in oil, and that is the element of spiritual issue. As the Rambam mentions it, the Rambam looks lucky. I cited before. A Jewish king has many prerogatives, but whatever he does in carrying out his prerogatives, so he has to be Lishem Shamayim. His motive has to be pure. Lishem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lishem Moemes, Lishem HaTzedek. So V'tiyeh Megamosei U'machshavtei Ro'or Yidam HaSemes, U'mal Yisrael HaTzedek, U'mish Be'ezriah Yishorim, U'michol Yiroches HaDishayim. So that is another essential element. Tzibiso Yeshua, the aspiration towards the Yehim Shekul Shabbos U'nucho V'chan Yom. That means there is a very remarkable story about this aspiration towards the Yehim Shekul Shabbos in Lucha Lechayola, in Misach Shabbos. Shabbos Achlam Edom Dalek. So the Gemara tells us, Omar David Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Omar Rav Yudah Omar Rav. My Dichsin, it's a positive killing. Oideini Ad Shem Kitzi, Yumidas Yomai, Mai, Eido Oma Chodelani. Omar David Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribeini Shal Eilam. Oideini Ad Shem Kitzi. David wanted to know when he'll die. Mosai Chodelani. When will be the day when he'll cease to exist, when he'll become a Chodel. Chodel means when he'll cease, when his existence will terminate in this world. Omalei, David Benishon said to David, Zeirohim Ulfonai, Shemidim, Kitzi Shalbos Avodom, Unidas Yom Emayim, Zeirohim Ulfonai, Shemidim, Unidas Yom Avodom. So, the Ida Machodran, what David insisted, he wants to know what day of the week will that. Omalei, the Shabbos comes. So that much David Benishon told him. You die on Shabbos. We Shabbos, the Benishon refused. But the Benishon did tell him that David will die on Shabbos. Omar, the other the Shabbos. And there is such a desire in the heart of every man, even the heart of this giant of Ben Yamalek, who needs this Israel to live one day more. It's not right. And the Benishon told him he'll die on Shabbos. So he begged of the Benishon. Let me die on the Sunday following that Shabbos, and we chant this day. So that we gain one day of life. But there is such a strong desire to live, to continue living. Even every normal person would give kol holy only in order to live one more day. And David HaMelech was also a human being. He too wanted to give kol holy only in order to die on the Sunday following the Shabbos, rather than the Shabbos preceding the Sunday. Omalei, so the Rebbeinu Shalom said to him, for Yia Malchus Shleimitim, the Malchus Nigaz Bechavato, Afilu Kimlo Yimlo. Anyway, it's the Rebbeinu Shalom said to David, you know that everyone has a certain number of years, which is a certain span of life, which is destined to live. And the reason is why certain people have to die on a certain day is because until that day, they have a very important function to fulfill. But once the revelation of the infinite wisdom takes notice of the fact that a certain person has already fulfilled his mission in life, so then, and somebody else is to take over, so then the Malchus Ligar Bechal Tapet Shokhimo. So, Kvorigia Malchus Leinevi, Infant. Because you already fulfilled, you David, you already fulfilled. By that Shabbos, you will have fulfilled your mission. And then it will be the task of your son Shlomo to fulfill his mission life. And maybe you cannot ask that your lifespan should be prolonged even for one day. Because everything is a chashuv. So then, what did David HaMelech mean? David HaMelech knew that he's going to die on Shabbos. But which Shabbos is not? Will it be the next Shabbos? Will it be the Shabbos in 2 weeks? Will it be the Shabbos in 3 weeks? The Shabbos in 4 weeks? The Shabbos in 6 months maybe? Maybe the Shabbos in a year? Maybe the Shabbos in 5 years? But he knew that he's going to die on Shabbos. So all days of the week he was oppressed. Because he didn't anticipate death. But at once, the sun of the Friday is set. So he became very, very apprehensive. Maybe this is the Shabbos on which I promised to die. And because of that, because he anticipated the possibility of the end of his life, so he dedicated every Shabbos to Torah. So the Malachamoves couldn't reach him because he was dedicated to Torah. How could the Malachamoves reach him? But then the Malachamoves disguised himself and he sat down on the tree in the orchard of the Amalek's courtyard, and then he started to shake the trees, and then the Amalek interrupted the study of Torah, and then the Malachamoves was able to get the Amalek. Now what the Chazal trying to tell us? Now the Amalek, he was the first Amalek in Israel. I mean, they were Melochim before him, But he was the first Melech in the dynasty of Malchus. The other Melechim were Melechim, but they were not Zeche, for Malchus were there. But he was the first Melech with Zeche in Malchus, with Malchus was vested in David. Malchus was the king of David. So one of the attributes of Malchus, of eternal Malchus, is Tzipisal Yeshua. And as long as a person aspires toward Shabbos, and as long as the Rebbeinu Shlomo told David HaMelech, you want to know Mosai Thomas. David wanted to know how he would die, under what circumstance will he die. You know, there were many Melochim, leaders of the world, who ended their career in a very disastrous fashion. A classic example is President Nixon. I mean, President Nixon could have died. He died and should live. I mean, years ago. I'm not one of the enemies of President Nixon. But President Nixon, unfortunately, can go down in the annals of history in a very disastrous manner. Why? Because he didn't aspire towards the idea, towards the day of Yom Shikun Shabbos and Yom Lechaila. He didn't try to establish peace in the world. He didn't try to counteract wishes in the world. He didn't try to establish Tzedek and Yesha as a Melech is supposed to. So, he did not die the Shabbos. David HaMelech wanted to know, Mosai Omis, under what circumstances did he die? How will he go down to the annals of the history of mankind? So the Rebbeinu Shlomo told him, be Shabbos Thomas. You and your career, and you and your life, in the midst of the Shabbos day, while you will be involved in dedicating yourself to this aspiration of the Yom Shekul and Shabbos and Yuchol Lechayim. And this is the purpose of Shabbos. As I said, once, Chazal saying, you know, Shomu, this oil, Shabbos is not in Yom. Why do Chazal say Shtei Shabboses? First of all, there were times when the Jews observed not only two Shabboses, but they observed all the Shabbos in the year, and still they were not people. And then why do Chazal emphasize two Shabboses? Why is two more important than three Shabboses, than four? But the answer is, Shabbos, and the next year Shabbos, the Torah says, by Borach and the Timus, he must be like Kaddish says. So Gdusha inheres in the Shabbos, in the day of Shabbos. But Shabbos was also blessed after the Shabbos. What does it mean, Shabbos for Chazal? We understand what blessing means in connection with the person. So, when Bochim told, I'm a Jewish child, so the child is blessed that he should grow up as a Bentor, as a Mitzvah Hashem, he should be applied for the Jewish. But what does it mean that the Jewish should bless Shabbos? So the answer to this question is implicit in the Broche that Yaakov of the story of Amnashim Ephraim. So Yaakov said, Yichol Yivor Yisroi Leimea, Yisimcho Elikim Kefraim Vechenashe. Rashi in explaining this Broche of Yaakov of Yivor says, Abo, Kol Mishe, Bo, Yivor Yichol Yivor 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 Yivor. In other words, the Broche that Yaakov of Yivor bestowed upon Ephraim Nashe consisted in declaring Ephraim Nashe as symbols of blessing, that they should serve as an example. Whenever a father will be eager to bestow his blessing upon his children, he will say, you be like Ephraim Nashe. Ephraim Nashe will serve as a symbol, as an example. So, by Baruch HaLakim Eshim HaShvi, by Kaddish HaSeim, that the purpose of the Kedusha of Shabbos is not that the Kedusha should remain vested in Shabbos. No, but that the Kedusha of Shabbos should spread out, should be mashpi on the other days of the week. Just the Shabbos is dedicated to Tzedek and to Yeshia, to the Kedusha and to Ta'ala, to the concept of Yitzire. So all the days of the week should receive Ashkoya from the week of Shabbos. And the Khmerim Jews especially should dedicate all their endeavors towards the goal of Yom Shikul Shabbos and Nuchu Lechayilom. This is what Chazal means when he says, you know, Shomim Yisroel Yishtei Shabbos is, if the Israelites had only realized that it's not enough to content ourselves with the Shabbos atmosphere, with the atmosphere of Kedusha on the Shabbos day, that it's not enough
to live the whole life on Shabbos and then in the week to be dishonest in business and to act unscrupulously, but that the atmosphere of Shabbos has to spread out over the other days of the week. You know, you show when you stay in Shabbos. The Kedusha of the Shabbos and the Kedusha of the Shabbos should also be spread out, be mashpia on the other days of the week. Then we got him gone. We got him gone. So that was what the Kodesh Baruch Hu said to him on the Shabbos. No matter when you die, but you will die in the midst of your work towards preaching. You'll die in the midst of your dedication towards the goal of Yom Shekul and Shabbos in the new Holy Covenant. And when a person dedicates himself to that test of Yom Shekul and Shabbos in the new Holy Covenant, so that kind of test never dies. He never dies. So his inspiration, Mida Zam, Beilom Hazeh, you never die in Beilom Hazeh. You just mentioned Beilom Hazeh, but Beilom Hazeh you never die. And that is an element of eternal Malchus. There's Tzipiso in Yeshua, the aspiration towards the Yom Shekul Shabbos in the Yom Kippur. In Melech, who lives up to the elements and the requirements of eternal royalty, dies in Yeshua. Whether even if he dies on Friday, or he dies on Thursday, he still dies in a Shabbos, because he's always dedicated to the Yom Shekul Shabbos in the Yom. My mother was a family brother, so she aspired in Shua all the time. She always thought about Shabbos. And not on Wednesday she planned to be in Shabbos, but literally speaking, on Sunday, on Tzimri Shabbos, she already thought of the Shabbos. And she was always busy all week about Shabbos. Because she possessed this attribute of internal Malchus, of Tzipiso in Shua, of aspiring towards the day with Yom Shekul Shabbos Umiyuchol Chayilom. As a matter of fact, the last word that my mother-in-law uttered was on Friday night, when after she had been in deep coma for many days, she woke up and she said to me, she said, good Shabbos. And then she sank into a coma. And that was symbolic of her aspiration of the day of Yom Shekul Shabbos in Yucho Lechayim. And she died in Shabbos. She died in the midst of all her dedication to the Yom Shekul Shabbos in Yucho Lechayim. And there is one more word that I want to say about her. There is a Mishnah in the Gomes, and there is a Mishnah in the Gomes, that even in those moments where everybody has a moments, that's in this Bible, so everyone has the moments, to say in this Bible, but there are certain witnesses who are not trusted, who have no limits. And one of these witnesses who has no limits, even in the case of Mes Bailo, is Kamiso, a mother-in-law. A mother-in-law has no limits. So everyone is Nemon. And Akumisiyaku Tumay, I mean, the ship, or everyone has mnemonics to say Mes Bailo. It doesn't require all the halachas of Eidos, Mes Bailo. But there are certain women who are not men. One of these women is Chamiso, a mother. Why? Because a mother-in-law is considered a sinner. Why is a mother-in-law a sinner? A mother-in-law has a resentment.